Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello, and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are doing great. Right now, it's snowing outside, and we've got a wood stove going. Life is really good. We are in Southern Illinois, and for everybody that's here anyways, we know it doesn't snow much here anymore, and when it comes, we enjoy it, unless you're like Ryan Deaton, and you're out on the road early in the morning, or Brandon McNeely, and you got to be on the road pulling a trailer, then you don't really like snow all that much, or like my poor buddy Tyler, every time it snows, he has to go out and push snow with a Bobcat for hours on end. Other than those guys, we really enjoy it. So it's snowing and we love it. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We did. We avoided some sickness. Had a great time with Jordan's family on Thursday. And then on Friday, we were supposed to go to spend time with my side of the family, but they ended up getting sick and puking everywhere. So we delayed it for a few days. We ended up being able to get together yesterday. And so right now we're all in the clear. So hopefully we don't end up getting sick. And now only 3 weeks till Christmas. I mean, it's coming quick. It really is. So we're going to be back in the London Baptist Confession, chapter 12. We're going to be talking about the doctrine of adoption. Now, this is verbatim with chapter 12 of the Westminster Standards, so that is good. When I think about the doctrine of adoption, I'm immediately taken back to when I was a 24, 25-year-old man reading Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And these words, it's like they're etched into my memory. Here's what he says in the very first paragraph of chapter 19. What is a Christian? The question can be answered in many ways, but the richest answer I know is that a Christian is one who has God as Father. We have God as Father, which is good news. We've been justified to be adopted. We're more than just forgiven. We are more than just counted righteous. We are actually welcomed into the family of God. Jesus became an enemy so that we could become sons of God. It's incredible. Let's go ahead and pray, ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll get into our content today. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon it. Bring clarity of speech as we work through this small chapter. And then also, God, on the comments I make on the front end, help them to be profitable and helpful. And God, we love you so much. We are so thankful that we get to come to you as Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I've learned a lot from Moscow. I've learned a lot from Ogden. I've learned a lot from Apologia. And I've learned less from Joel Webbin. But the small amount of content that I've consumed from him has been pretty good and helpful. That doesn't mean that I haven't had disagreements with all those guys to some degree or another. I do not believe I'm going to be doing episodes on everything that's been going on and transpiring with the internet world, but I'll just say this. I'm frustrated with everybody involved to one degree or another. It is so frustrating to see brothers fight and act like children. Honestly, everybody's acting like children. It would be really good for people, especially those who just fight all day, every day on Twitter, if they would just get off the internet and enjoy their life and live quietly and love their family well, love their church well, work hard, and just trust the Lord to bring the harvest. And I think with a lot of these issues that are going on, if Twitter didn't exist, these issues wouldn't exist. Here's how I've decided to respond to all this. I just don't care. I really don't care. I don't care what happens with the fallout of all this. I don't care if Ogden and if Moscow are fighting together or fighting against each other. I don't care if James White or Joel Webbin never talk again. I really don't care. I don't have to consume material from any of those people to love the Lord and humbly walk before God and others as the Holy Spirit empowers me to. I don't have to listen to any of those guys. Those guys don't have to be reconciled for me to be the man that God has called me to be. And brother, listen to me. Love God and love people And don't be concerned about taking the most edgy position you can possibly take on everything. It would probably be good to stay off the internet, and it would be really good to not get emotionally involved into these internet squabbles back and forth. It's unhealthy for them, and it's unhealthy for you as well. And finally, real quick, small comments on the whole controversy. Don't hate Jewish people, okay? And don't accuse people of hating Jewish people, all right? It's really as simple as that. Love God, love people, and seek the glory of God and the good of all men.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
All right, chapter 12. Let's talk about adoption. All we have is one paragraph, and we're going to work through every single line, pausing along the way. I'm going to make a couple recommendations and then put those recommendations in the show notes as well. Here we go. All those that are justified, God vouchsafed, in and for the sake of his Holy Son, Jesus Christ, to make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they are taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God, have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as by a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. Here we go. We have one dynamite sentence. It isn't technically a paragraph, but it is. We have a sentence here pregnant with power. So let's work through it. Those that are justified, God vouchsafed for the sake of Christ, and they are now partakers of the grace of adoption. They're welcomed into God's family. Adoption is obviously familial language. Even though we were separated from God, enemies of God, and in rebellion, God has brought us into his family by the grace of God. Now we are in that number. We enjoy then the liberties and privileges of the children of God. I mean, think about the privileges and liberties that your children have as opposed to the other children that's in your church in their relation with you, or the children that are in your neighborhood and their relation to you. Do they have certain privileges by being in proximity to you? Well, certainly, but nothing like the privileges and liberties that your children have. And these are the privileges and liberties that we have as the children of God. We have his name upon us. We have the spirit of adoption within us. We have access to the throne of grace to walk in boldly, to cry out to our heavenly Father, our Abba Father. In this adoption, we are pitied, we are protected, we are provided for. I mean, pitied, protected, provided for, chastened by him as a father, because we know good fathers discipline their children, and yet we are never cast off in this discipline. It's never punitive from an unhinged father, but this is from a controlled, loving father who is correcting us and disciplining us for our good. And then we are sealed for the day of redemption. Once we're adopted into God's family, we can't be unadopted. We are in his family forever. And then we inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. Now, this doctrine, even though we only have one sentence, one paragraph, one chapter, is so precious because it gets to the point that we actually have a higher privilege, as J.I. Packer talks about in his book, in the chapter Sons of God, to appeal to that again. We actually have this higher privilege, the privilege of adoption, than even the crown jewel of the Christian faith, which is justification. We see that here because when we see the redemptive work of Christ, we are redeemed by Christ, which would include justification. And then it's all for a purpose. And here's what Galatians chapter 4 says. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. So this redemption and talk of law has to do with law breaking and righteousness. This has everything to do with justification as well. This kind of redemption includes justification. Then we see in part B of verse 5, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We were under the law and we were redeemed by God through Jesus Christ so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is the privilege of adoption. Nobody else in the world can say rightly that they have God as Father. Away with the heresy of the universal fatherhood of God. God is not everyone's father in the world. Only the Christian has this great privilege of saying, God, you are my Father, and crying out and being instructed by Christ to pray to God, our Heavenly Father. And now I'm going to read a couple excerpts from Knowing God, from Packer's chapter, Sons of God. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. Listen to what he says here. But justification is not the highest blessing of the gospel. Adoption is higher because of the relationship with God that it involves. Some textbooks on Christian doctrine, Burkhoff's for instance, treat adoption as a mere subsect of justification, but this is inadequate. The two ideas are distinct, and adoption is the more exalted. Justification is a forensic idea, conceived in terms of law, and viewing God as judge. In justification, God declares a repentant believer that they are not and never will be liable to the death that their sins deserve because Jesus Christ, their substitute and sacrifice, tasted death in their place on the cross. This free gift of acquittal and peace won for us at the cost of Calvary is wonderful enough, but justification does not in itself imply any intimate or deep relationship with God the judge. In idea, at any rate, you could have the reality of justification without any close fellowship with God resulting. But contrast this now with adoption. Adoption is a family idea, conceived in terms of love and viewing God as Father. In adoption, God takes us into His family and fellowship and establishes us as His children and heirs. Closeness, affection, and generosity are at the heart of this relationship. To be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is a greater. Catch the significance of the doctrine of adoption. Now, one thing that I'm sure you've heard before that we want to make clear in talking about this family relationship of God as Father, we want to make sure we don't make the mistake of viewing the fatherhood of God through the lens of human fatherhood. Packer explains this well. Who can grasp this? I have heard it seriously argued that the thought of divine fatherhood can mean nothing to those whose human father was inadequate, lacking wisdom, affection, or both, nor to those many more whose misfortune it was to have a fatherless upbringing. I have heard Bishop Robinson's revealing failure to say anything about divine fatherhood in Honest to God defended on those grounds as a brilliant move in commending the faith to a generation in which family life has largely broken down. But this is silly. For in the first place, it's not just true to suggest that in the realm of personal relations, positive concepts cannot be formed by contrast, which is the suggestion implicit here. Many young people get married with a resolve not to make the mess of marriage that they saw their parents make. Can this not be a positive ideal? Of course it can. Similarly, the thought of our Maker becoming our perfect parent, faithful in love and care, generous and thoughtful, interested in all that we do, respecting our individuality, skillful in training us, wise in guidance, always available, helping us to find ourselves in maturity, integrity, and uprightness, is a thought which can have meaning for everybody, whether we come to it by saying, I had a wonderful father. I can see that God is like, only more so, or by saying, my father disappointed me here and here and here, but God, praise his name, will be very different. Or even by saying, I have never known what it is to have a father on earth, but thank God, I now have one in heaven. The truth is that all of us have a positive ideal of fatherhood by which we judge our own and other fathers, and it can be safely said that the person for whom the thought of God's perfect fatherhood is meaningless or repellent does not exist. But in any case, and this is the second point, God has not left us to guess what fatherhood amounts to by drawing analogies from human fatherhood. He revealed the full meaning of this relationship once and for all through the Lord Jesus Christ, His own incarnate Son. And it is from God that all fatherhood, or earthly or heavenly, derives its name. So it is from His manifest act as it is from God that all fatherhood, earthly or heavenly, derives its name. So it is from this manifest activity, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we learn in this one instance, which is also a universal standard, what God's fatherly relationship to us who are in Christ really means. For God intends the life of believers to be a reflection and reproduction of Jesus' own fellowship with Himself. So to summarize, we don't learn about God as Father from earthly fathers, either good or bad. We learn what fatherhood is from God, our Heavenly Father, and His relationship to His incarnate Son. We learn how to be a father by looking at how God was a father to Christ. We learn fatherhood from God. I am a better father in so much as I mirror the fatherhood of God to me and to His people. So I highly recommend chapter 19 in Knowing God from J.I. Packer, and then also a couple other recommendations. I've not really been doing this as we have been working through this, but with this particular doctrine, I think it's helpful because it's unknown by so many. So you can check out The Fatherhood of God by Robert Candish, and also The Good Sermon preached by C.J. Mahaney, just titled Knowing God as a Father. I'll put those links in the show notes. The chapter from Knowing God is really accessible. The book, The Fatherhood of God, is really accessible. And that sermon is just something that is absolute dynamite. So I encourage you to look into all three of those. This is chapter 12 of the London Baptist Confession, and I am a full subscriber.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.